It's 10:30 in the morning on the Saturday before Christmas, and I need more cash. Cash for small last-minute stocking fillers. Cash for a taxi home from the shops. Cash for handouts to my grandchildren on Boxing Day. Cash for rounds of drinks in the pub tonight. No problem. Dial in my PIN number. Remember that it's 7 comes before 5, but I don't sometimes mix up my extension number 5377. Ah! Here comes the wad of notes. It's magic, really. This little hole in the wall recognises me, knows my credit balance, trusts me, even thanks me for calling. Remember what it's like to get your own cash in the past, all that rushing around to fit into the bank's ridiculous opening times, all that queuing behind people with enough bags of loose change to pay off the national debt. Well, it's good to know that the man who installed the very first hole in the wall, John Shepherd Barron, felt just the same.
It all started in the spring of 65 when I was trying to cash my cheque on a Saturday morning in Dorking, the nearest town to which we lived, and got there 1 minute too late to find the door shut firmly in my face, and I thought, God, I had a good time to go and cash a cheque at the local garage, and felt embarrassed. I said, there must be a better way of doing this.
They were infuriating days at the banks then, weren't they? Because they always seemed to enjoy closing the door in your face.
Given half a chance, if you saw you coming, they could bang the door in your face and smile triumphantly through it. That was the approach.
That's right. They loved putting up the closed sign.
So all I did was to lie in my bath that night and think, there must be a better way of how I can get at my money when I want it. And the thing that sprang to mind, it sounds naive now, was, I don't suppose you remember, you're too young to know, but in the old days they used to have chocolate bar machines.
Oh, I'm not too young to know.
On railway station platforms, you put a penny in, pull the handle, and got a penny's worth of chocolate out the bottom. And I thought, let's load a machine like that with bricks of money rather than chocolate, i.e. ten one-pound notes with a wrap around it. You can get your money anywhere in the country.
We always, certainly in the branch that I worked at, we were very careful not to shut the door in someone's face. I can assure you people weren't lurking around, we'll get him when he comes in. It wasn't that. It may have seemed like it, but it generally wasn't. Same rules applied to staff as anyone else. If you couldn't get to the counter during your lunchtime, then you were stuck, I'm afraid, the same as everybody else.
That was Brian Capon of the British Bankers Association. You'd expect him to defend the banks, even though back in the 60s he was only a lowly bank clerk. Good to know they suffered as well. Of course, what they didn't know then, as they buffed up their closed signs ready for the next day's latecomers, was that up in Scotland, John Shepherd Barron had climbed out of his bath and was planning the next stage of the revolution.
So I had the idea on a Saturday. I put the team together on Monday, had more thoughts about it Wednesday. And once a month, we'd have a general manager of each bank in turn to lunch. And usually on a Friday afternoon, so he'd have a good pink gin. And it happened to be the turn of Barclays that Friday. And on Friday, he came to lunch and said, oh, by the way, Harold Darvill was the general manager, I have a crazy idea which I might float over you for. Give me 90 seconds of your time. So I stood apart and I gave him another pink gin, took him aside and said, I have this wacky idea about dispensing money through a hole in the wall, etc.
What was his first reaction?
Well, what an amazing thing, he turned on me in 85 seconds. I had a colleague with me who counted the time. And in 85 seconds, he said, if you can do that, I'll buy it. And on Monday, the chief executive of the bank came round in the bank Rolls Royce and said, I'm not leaving here until you sign a contract with you. I said, well, I've only had the idea a week ago. So he hacked out a two-paragraph letter, which ordered me to go ahead and build 6 prototypes. And an order for further 50, didn't matter what the price was, go ahead.
But there was one big question still to be resolved. How would that nice, friendly, ever-open hole in the wall know who was calling on its services? John had the answer. It'd be like the army. Give everyone a number. A personal identification number. A PIN number.
Nobody ever thought of that before. I wanted a 6-figure number because I could remember my old army number at 6 figures. So I took the idea back to my wife and she said she couldn't remember more than 4. So he changed it to 4-figure PIN and that became the world standard, typical.
And so the great day finally arrived, June the 26th.